Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks Podcast on KMBZ.
Round, round, get around. I get around. Yeah, get around, round, round. I get around. I get around.
Beach Boys are your artist of the day. They were, for those of you who've been with the program for a long time, the original artist of the day many, many years ago. So we were talking last hour, at the tail end of the last hour, about a guy that I went to high school with, played football with, named Chris Heinzelman. And he's kind of like the local Duggar. And he hit me up on Facebook. He said, hey, I heard you were talking about me. What's going on? And I said, hey, can you call in? He said, yeah, a bunch of my friends were hitting me up on my text line. What's going on? I said, I was talking about how many kids you had. I said, how many kids do you have?
You thought it was 10, and I thought it was more.
He listed 10 on Facebook, but yeah. I knew it was more. And, I mean, I've seen more. And he writes back, 16. And Chris has joined us on the hotline. Chris Heinzelman, my friend. Hello.
Hi.
How you doing, Scott? Dana, how are you?
It's so good to hear your voice again. Yeah. I think the last time we talked to you at 14.
Well, has it been that long?
I think so.
What was that, last week?
What are you doing? I mean, you're like literally inseminating the entire American population.
Hey, man, I'm a pastor now. That's the only way I can get my church to grow.
So you have, Chris, you and I have known each other since we were teenagers.
Yes.
You have 16 kids.
16 kids, yes.
How do you keep them in order? And where do they sleep?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, we don't have much more space than your average people. My fifth son had a friend over to spend the night one time, and he was showing him around. He was like, this is my room. This is where I sleep. That's where my brother sleeps. That's where my other brother sleeps. And the kid, you know, kind of puffed up a little bit and said, well, I've got my own room. And my son, like, put his hand on his shoulder. He's like, I'm sorry. That must be lonely.
Oh. Like,
they just don't know any different, you know.
I think that's sweet.
Yeah, they got, you know, three in a room, as far as they know, that's just the way it is.
Do you plan on having any more?
I don't think so. I'm a grandpa now, man. That's, you know, I've...
And by the way, Chris, I'm not, and you're younger than I am.
Yeah, my oldest son, he's got three kids. Yeah, so... Yeah, we're not one of those weird families that, you know, has kids younger, you know, aunts and uncles younger than their nieces and nephews, the families I used to make fun of.
Now, can I, and if this is too personal, just please tell me, because I've had four, and that's it was hard on my body to do that four times. I cannot imagine what it would be like to do that four times the amount of times that I did it at four.
Dana, it's hell. I've put on like 100 pounds.
No, not you, Chris. This ain't about you.
Oh.
But
oh,
is
wife,
is
yeah.
there any point where her physician says stop doing this to your body, or can you just keep going?
You know, I have no idea. I mean, so far, my wife's incredibly healthy. I mean, she takes good care of herself, and
she better.
And I mean, look her up on Facebook. She's stinking gorgeous. And she does. She takes really good care of herself. She takes her health very, very seriously. And you know, you'd never guess in a million years she's our age, let alone with 16 kids. I mean, she's a trooper. Yeah. She's amazing.
Chris, so
it's not like she just dove into it, you know, unaware that it would take a toll on her body.
Oh,
you know,
sure.
She knows and prepares for it. And like I say, this is what she's always wanted to do. And now, she knew going in, even in her early 20s, you know, she knew if I'm going to do this, I'm going to have to stay strong and take sure. care of myself. So
Chris, let me read you, and you know I love you like a brother, man. But let me read you from the text line. Somebody writes in, just listening to this conversation is making my uterus hyperventilate. did your wife go into this knowing that you wanted to have as many children as possible?
So, you know, when we were dating, one of the things that drew us to each other was we both wanted a big family, and neither one of us had ever known or dated anybody who did, you know. I mean, we originally thought and picked out names for eight, you know, and then originally I think we planned on having a few natural and adopting some. But, you know, they just came one on top of the other. There was never a gap to adopt in.
No, Chris, I did the math. Your wife, how long have you guys been married?
28 years, Saturday, this last Saturday.
Oh, congratulations.
For you, congratulations.
Happy anniversary, buddy. Your wife, I did the math, has been pregnant for exactly 12 years.
Let me tell you the math I did, Scott. When we had our ninth baby, she had had five cycles in our entire marriage. Oh. I'm a freaking sharpshooter.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Yeah, that's good.
You're what we call potent.
Is that the word?
Chris, okay. How old's your oldest?
My oldest is 28. We had him when I was 20.
And have some of them gone to college, or all of them gone to college?
I'm a sharpshooter.
My oldest son, pretty much straight out of high school, joined my remodeling business, and he basically runs it now.
Awesome.
My second son is in his master's program for electrical engineering at KU, and then the other ones are in school, are in college.
Good, good.
How can you afford that, Chris?
What's that?
How can you afford that?
They have to work their way through school, plus Pell Grants and scholarships.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, I can't put them through school. I wish I could, but no, that was out of reach, you know.
By the way, the sharpshooter comment was a classic.
That was out of reach 7 or 8 kids ago.
My God.
Oh, you make me laugh. Well, you know, I didn't want him to call. I said, don't you call, because that's awkward to, you know, and he goes, no, we're friends, and he makes fun of himself.
No, Scott takes good care of me. Every time I've been on, he's taking good care of me. I trust you guys.
Well, Chris, I'll tell you this. When we were kids, back in the day, if you had told me in the locker room, you know, I'm going to have 16 kids, Scott, I would have looked at you and slapped you across your face.
Oh, absolutely. I wouldn't have believed it in a million years. I got to be honest. Back then, I was, you know, I was a classic 80s, you know, Gen Xer. I was afraid of nuclear war and acid rain, and you know, there's no way. I used to swear there's no way I'm bringing kids into this world. You know, I wanted to adopt a bunch, but I thought the world was going to hell and didn't want to add to the mess. But you know, things change.
Boy, do they ever, buddy. I still go through the yearbook every once in a while, and I see your face and I just laugh.
Yeah. I got voted most changed at my last two reunions.
Yeah, yeah, you think?
You think?
And then voted again in between reunion 1 and 2.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And the last, I believe the last reunion, you were voted damn.
Yeah.
You're awesome, yeah. Chris. You're a good sport, my friend.
Hey, I love you, brother. You be safe, all right? Be well.
Yeah, well.
All the best to you and your family, my friend.
Yep.
Okay, be well, my friend. That is my buddy Chris Heinzman from high school.
He is so funny.
She's had five
periods.
Only
had five cycles.
I'm a sharpshooter.
So funny.
Our thanks to Chris Heinzman for joining us on the program.
Boy, another one bites the dust. Uh-oh. Guess which large retailer has just filed for bankruptcy?
I would know the name, obviously.
You would go above JCPenney's, but a little below Macy's. Below Macy's, but above a JCPenney's.
Kohl's?
In that wheelhouse.
Their
carts always bug me.
Is that what you remember about the store?
Yeah.
It's not Kohl's.
Black mesh carts.
Oh,
Yeah.
Say it. I know it.
Steinmart. Steinmart has filed for bankruptcy and will close most of its 300 stores. This from CNN Business. Discount retailer Steinmart has filed for bankruptcy and plans to close most of those stores. The 112-year-old company blamed its failure on changing consumer habits and the pandemic, both of which have caused significant financial distress on our business, according to the CEO. It does not have sufficient liquidity to continue operating in the ordinary course of business. It says, as a result, it is permanently closing a significant portion, if not all, of its brick and mortar stores, with liquidation sales beginning immediately. Steinmart, by the way, began in 1908 as a small department store in Mississippi before expanding into 300 locations across 30 states. It joins JCPenney's, Pier 1. This is just July. Tuesday morning.
Tuesday morning did too?
That's what it says. In recent months.
I'm telling you. Dana, I have said this. If people like you and me do not shop these kinds of stores, they will go out of business. You have to get offline.
I cannot remember the last time I went into a Steinmart or a JCPenney's or a Sears or a, I cannot remember the last time.
Why do you think they're going out of business?
Yeah. Then you throw the pandemic in, of course.
Sure, and that doesn't help.
I mean, but I don't think they were doing well prior.
No, but you throw in the pandemic and where all these businesses have to shut down for 3, 4, 5 months, and all of a sudden you're like, well, damn, why is everybody going out of business?
Well, truthfully, they should change all of their stores to just be like try-on centers. Like you have one size of each thing. Come in, try it on, see which size is yours, and then order it.
Online?
Yeah, I think that'd be a good way for them to...
That is so dumb, Sam, with all respect. If you come in and try it on and it fits, why wouldn't you just buy it then?
Because if you are stocking all of that inventory that's never going to leave the shelf, you're just wasting money stocking inventory, paying insurance on that inventory, paying staff to maintain that inventory when you could just...
Oh, so you're arguing they should do smaller stores?
Yeah, much smaller, yes.
I see. Okay, I misunderstood your point, so forgive me.
Cut a lot of overhead.
And obviously rental space.
Mm-hmm.
So you're arguing go super small, come in, try it on, figure out if it fits. We'll measure you, we'll get your sizes, and then go online and we'll send it to you. But you're killing the local economy. Doesn't everybody see this? Am I the only one who does?
Well, yes. I see what you're saying. I do.
You are killing your city.
I think we are just going to have to shift the way we offer, 9,000 racks of clothing.
Here's what's going to happen is every storefront is going to become a super specialty shop, or it's going to become a restaurant.
Yeah.
I'm being serious.
Oh, I know.
I mean, short of the hardware store.
Did you see Amazon is going to buy up, what was it, to make it into, Sam, we reported this yesterday, to make it into more warehouse space. They're going to go into the old shuttered, was it mall sites, Sam? This was in the news yesterday. So they are at least repurposing, okay?
Amazon is killing America. I'm telling you right now.
Well, it's killing the traditional
mom and pop.
Enormous. Think the enormous JCPenney anchor at, quote, the mall.
Mm-hmm.
It will kill that. I agree.
It's, yeah, old mall space.
Yes. Amazon is taking, and this makes me happy, because the old mall space is just sitting there rotting.
Or ghost town.
It's rotting. Amazon is at least going to not build new centers. They are going to go into the old, dead mall space.
Would you say they completely tore down Indian Springs?
Oh, yeah.
It's gone.
That's gone.
Obviously, Bannister Mall's gone.
Obviously, Bannister.
Years.
You're forgetting Great Mall of the Great Plains. Gone.
Yeah.
I don't think it's killing America, Scott. It's just going to, it changes the way people sell because of the way people are buying.
Well, and small business will always be the top dog.
How do you figure?
It still is today with all of the large big box store competitors that exist.
Yeah, but what I'm talking about is like the little mom and pop shop. Like, I don't know how, and God bless them for hanging on. But there are two little hardware stores on Johnson Drive down the street.
Oh, I'll tell you how those hang on.
How do they?
Because you can walk in, grab your screws and your nuts, and walk out.
Excuse me?
Like Strasser Hardware is a dream if you're down that way. You walk in, get your snow shovel,
yep.
Walk out.
I go in and get my bird seed,
yes.
And walk right
there,
out.
There's something to be said. And then you also have the super knowledgeable... You know, you don't have to roam around looking for people to help you.
I need you to cut me a key?
Yes, right there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the service is amazing.
I agree.
In fact, I was in that little hardware store about a month ago to make an extra key for one of the kids' cars.
Mm-hmm.
And they knew exactly. I mean, he goes, well, that looks like a, you know, 2001. And yep, let me open the book here. And we've got that. I mean, like, they know what that, they've been there forever.
What did he sound
this
like?
This guy looked like he had been working there for 80 years.
He probably has.
Yes, I know. And there's something to be said for that. That store is never closing. No.
I hope you're right.
It's like when we lived in Prairie Village, they had Euston's Hardware. Same thing. Walk
did you
in.
Say Euston's?
Yeah. Euston's. Walk in, get what you need, walk out.
Okay. I thought you were like from New York and you pronounce Euston's.
Euston's? Like my cousin Vinny?
Yes.
Go to Euston's.
Like my mom. We're flying down to
Euston's. Grab your screws and your nuts and walk out.
Excuse me? All right, okay. All right. News is next.
You're a rich girl and you're gone too far, cause you know it don't matter anyway. You can rely on the old man's money. You can rely on the old man's money. It's a bitch, girl, but it's gone too far, cause you know it don't matter anyway. Say money, money won't get you too far, get you too far.
Hall & Oates. Story here from NBC News. Audrey Tato, a rising fourth grader in Sacramento, California. Not sure how they know she's rising. Can't say exactly what she did to get her school email account blocked in the spring. She's only 9. Online learning was new to her, and she found the technology confusing. Her teacher and her school principal say she bombarded the district's tech support department with requests. But she doesn't remember it like that. She thinks she might have sent too many messages to a friend in a private chat room, triggering some sort of automatic spam response. But she does remember the shame and the confusion she felt when her teacher wrote to her indicating that she was in trouble and that she would hate to have to mute Audrey's account. Later, her email account was blocked. Audrey worried that she had been suspended from school, even though she was learning from home. Quoting here from Audrey, who attends elementary school in Sacramento, I don't want to go back to school because they embarrass me a lot. The district did block Audrey's email account for about 2 hours, quote, after inappropriate emails were sent to our district IT staff from the account. Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute, guys. Hang on. You're telling me that a 9-year-old sent you, quote, inappropriate emails?
I don't.
Like what? D-pics?
Yeah, I don't buy that for 1 second. Can you be... The bigger question is, with all of these kids doing online learning,
right?
Can you be in trouble or booted from online learning? And if so, for what? Like, sure, if you show up naked in the Zoom.
Or without a shirt.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be inappropriate.
Fine. But, you know, like in the classroom, you know, when you and I were in school, Scott, they used to make us stand in the corner, or you would have to sit in the hallway when you were naughty. You would have to go sit in the hall. Now, I don't know that, but I witnessed it. What do you do when somebody gets out of line online learning? Do you block them from the Zoom? Can you do that?
In other words, are you asking, can you suspend them?
Yeah.
Can you suspend a kid?
Can you Zoom suspend a kid who probably would fare better in the classroom and now, because of this COVID, is stuck at home doing the Zoom thing?
Yes.
You think?
Well, I think you would have to. Kid shows up without his shirt on?
Well, but that's an obvious infraction.
Well, what else would
you... Okay, being disruptive. Disruptive behavior.
Yep.
And then who gets to decide? It's the teacher, of course, but what constitutes disruptive behavior?
Well, what would constitute disruptive behavior in a classroom, Dana?
You don't think that's different, being disruptive in a physical classroom environment, than it is being in your own home?
No, with one exception. I think I've never done online learning, okay? So I'm... And a lot of kids are. I mean, I don't know what your school district has done, but we're doing 2 days online, 1 day cleaning, 2 days in school.
Yeah.
That's what we've decided.
I think that's what we're doing too.
Okay. All right. So you're online and you have to go to the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have to go, excuse me, teacher, I need to run to the restroom, which is right around the corner or right next to my bedroom, because a lot of kids have their own
right
bathrooms. Do I have permission? Of course you don't interject and you don't ask for permission to go to the bathroom. Whereas in a public school,
you would have to ask.
Right. Of course. Of course. So you would just walk away from the Zoom. You would go to the bathroom and then come right back.
Where are you going, Johnny? Where are you going?
None of your damn business, woman.
Well, you remember that woman we talked about a couple weeks ago who was fired because she's working from home and her boss decided her two small children were disruptive during Zoom meetings. That bothers me.
Yeah, but I never once got suspended for being disruptive in class. And believe you me, I spoke too much in class every single day.
What do you mean you spoke too much in class?
Out of turn. Talking to my friends.
It's always what got me in trouble.
Oh, yeah. Every single report card ever had a little note at the bottom.
Yep.
Talks too much in class. Every single one.
He's a social kind of guy.
But I never got suspended once.
Well, I don't think they can suspend you for doing that.
Were you ever suspended?
No.
Don't act like I asked you.
Please, no.
She was a good student.
I was a good student.
I have no idea.
Update to a story we brought you about a month ago here on the program. Remember the woman who was having dinner and the waiter accidentally bumped a glass of wine that spilled on her $30,000 purse?
Yes.
The woman then brought a lawsuit against the New Jersey Country Club, and she is not backing down. The original case, Scott, that we talked about was dismissed by a judge, but she's back. She and her husband say they are still going to fight this, that they still think it was a lack of training, which is ridiculous, on the part of the employer to properly show employees how to not spill things.
That's their lawsuit?
Yes, yes, yes. And she is not letting this go.
Your lawsuit is that the restaurant did not teach people how to properly not spill something.
She is blaming the establishment for negligent hiring of the waiter.
Wow.
And the lawsuit continues after she spent nearly a year trying to resolve the issue directly with the restaurant.
And how much was the purse?
$30,000. Here's what her attorney says. They could not comprehend that a bag could be that much, or that, flip that, anyone would spend that much on a bag. And that was the biggest problem. They kind of discriminated against her that she actually owned a bag worth that much money.
How did they know how expensive the bag was?
Well, because that's part of the lawsuit in discovery.
Here's what I hope. I hope she doesn't die.
Scott!
I'm not done. I hope she doesn't die, and I hope she doesn't get very sick. But this witch, if you will, I hope she gets coronavirus.
You just wish coronavirus on a woman suing over a handbag?
Yep.
Okay.
Because she's an awful human being.
And how much has she spent on legal fees so far?
She would be one step closer to us getting herd immunity.
Wow.
I just said I hope she doesn't die, and I hope she doesn't get sick.
So the judge in the original case dismissed the case without prejudice, which allowed this woman's attorney to file a motion this week to reinstate the suit. First of all, negligent hiring, is that even a thing when someone spills something? Negligent hiring would be like the company I work for knowingly hires a rapist and then tells him, go be rapey when Dana's by herself in the office alone at night.
What it says is negligent hiring is I'm going to hire you and I want you to spill wine on a $30 bag.
It would have to be. No, I know you're being facetious, but negligent hiring would have to be you hire someone knowingly that is going to do something horrible.
Correct.
Like you hire a hitman, I don't know, to lead your HR department. You knowingly hire someone who could bring damage.
And I'm the one being facetious?
No, I'm telling you, negligent hiring is a thing, but it has to be a big thing.
Negligent hiring is not a thing.
Well, it's a thing if you do something like completely egregious, which hiring a waiter who accidentally knocks over a glass of wine is not negligent.
If you have a $30,000 bag, you need to go home and kick yourself in the face because you're a moron.
Couldn't she have bought like three more bags, though, after paying her lawyer all this time?
I mean, what kind of house is she going home to tonight?
Scott, I don't know.
$30,000 house?
No, it's...
It's not a $30,000 house when you got a $30,000 bag.
It's going to be north of that.
I would guess it would be $3 million.
That's negligent hiring.
These are the people that I hate.
Negligent hiring. Hiring a over-the-road truck driver who has had multiple DUIs.
Okay, that would great be, example.
That's a good one.
Under the doctrine of negligent hiring, an employer is liable for harm to its employees that are inflicted by the third party that hired
fine.
When they knew or should have known
yep.
of the employee's potential risk to cause harm. So the multiple DUI truck driver is a great example.
Great example. Can you imagine
I spilled a glass of wine. I'm a waiter making $8 an hour. Not a good example.
No, I'm making $2.45 an hour plus tips. That's what I'm making.
And you didn't give me a tip because I spilled wine on your purse.
Can you imagine going home to that woman every night? I'm being serious. Can you imagine a woman with a $30,000 handbag and you have to go home to that every night? I would Crisco those stairs every single day.
Oh my gosh!
Honey, we'll buy you another bag. Let it go. He's probably said that 7,000 times.
Honey, go upstairs. I'm going to Crisco the stairs and then come on down and let the dog out.
Mm-hmm.
What a horrible human being. 576-7798. Make a quick clarification on the show because my buddy Chris Heinzelman called in earlier this hour. Went to high school with him. We played football together.
Yeah.
He is a pastor at a church down in Olathe.
Yeah.
and he has 16 children. Mm-hmm. He says, I need to make a clarification. I think I just said that my oldest is 28, and I've been married for 28 years.
Mm-hmm.
Clarification, Scott.
Tell me more, Pastor.
Josiah is actually 27, and the rumors fly.
Pastor.
So
that's pretty good.
The pastor wants to be clear that he's been married for 28.
Uh-huh.
His youngest son is 27.
Hey, you know what? Your calendar is your business.
Hey, not born out of wedlock.
Doesn't bother me a bit.
Mm-mm.
Either way.
Mm-mm.
Either way.
Jesus approves.
So Forbes.com actually has an entire article, Scott, about negligent hiring. It is a thing. But it is, the cases are extreme. And by the way, the payouts on these were multi-million dollars. One is a healthcare provider who failed to perform a background check on an employee who subsequently murdered a client and the client's grandmother. Had they just done a criminal background check, they would have known he had 6 felony convictions.
Great point.
$18 million lawsuit in just punitive damages, okay?
And as you like to say, add zeros.
Add zeros. In the manufacturing arena, an employee shot and killed a coworker as a result of a confrontation. Had they conducted a background check and requested a reference, they would have uncovered multiple criminal convictions, including the illegal carrying of a weapon on a job site. And then the last one was in retail when they hired someone who had all kinds of awful things in their background, including sex assault, and that person turned around and either assaulted or murdered a coworker. So negligent hiring is a thing.
Okay. All right. That's fair.
But it's generally like you hire a murderer and just didn't Google the name.
You didn't hire somebody who spilled a glass of wine.
Correct.
So let me address this from the text line from 1871 and get your thoughts on this. Scott, you're making a moral judgment on her being a horrible person. That is not the issue. The issue is, does she deserve compensation when someone damages her property, right or wrong, or regardless of how much money that person makes or has? Doesn't someone who damages your property have to be responsible for said damage? Yes. Arguably, yes, would be my answer to that. However, what bothers me is that this woman goes into a restaurant with a $30,000 handbag.
Yeah.
And some poor kid accidentally spills a glass of wine onto her $30,000 handbag. I would imagine that the woman with the $30,000 handbag is not worried about where her next paycheck or meal is coming
Correct.
From. And for her, with all of her riches, to go over what is probably a local mom and pop, probably a nice restaurant.
It's a country club.
Okay. But to go after a local business, okay? We're not talking about a McDonald's. We're not talking about a
burger. But the texter has a good point, Scott. Do you have the right to recover that property? I would argue, you know, you wear a white shirt into a restaurant and they spill red wine on you, they're going to pay for your dry cleaning. They're going to offer to pay for your dry cleaning. I would actually make the argument, forget that the purse is $30,000, but it's hard to because it is, that with something of that extreme value, the owner of said handbag also has a responsibility to protect it from red wine. So if I go into a restaurant and I've got a brand new purse, even a $200 purse, I'm not necessarily going to set that down on the ground right below where I'm drinking my wine. You would hang it on the back of a chair. You would make sure.
Put it between your feet.
Somewhere, if you're going to wear something that expensive on your person, do you not have a little bit of a responsibility to keep it out of harm's way?
Or maybe put it in the trunk of a car before you walk in. Are you
put it in the trunk of your McLaren.
Yeah. Listen, Maserati.
Those had engines in the back, so you'd have to put it in the front compartment.
Anyway.
In My Room.
This is my mom's favorite song of all time.
Aww.
On behalf of our producer today, the finest man in all of America, Sam Oliver Stevie III, my good friend and co-host, Dana Wright, I am Scott Parks. And God willing, we're all back tomorrow at 2 o'clock. I hope everybody has a great night. Be safe. Be well. But most importantly, everybody, be good. See you tomorrow.
In this world I lock out all my worries and my fears in my room.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.